Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Today we tell a story about a gentleman whose kindly deed entangles him in a maze of suspicion and doubt.
Yeah. But you know, I could have explained everything, but nobody gave me a chance to say what I wanted to.
I can understand that, Sylvester. I've been in the same boat.
Doesn't seem possible.
Mm-hmm.
What didn't anybody give you a chance to say, Mrs. Greenwood?
I do. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Little town of Lakeview, and to Aunt Charlotte's problems of raising the three barking youngsters, little Robert and teenage Barbara and Jack. Robert is sprawled out on the living room floor, removing greeting cards from their envelopes with one hand and busily attempting to glue them in his scrapbook with the other, while Aunt Charlotte looks on. Robert is saying,
"Look, Aunt Charlotte, look at this card with Donald Duck on it. I didn't do a takeoff on him.
Now go on.
Oh,
that's wonderful, Robert.
You need a picture of Skibble. I can do a takeoff of him, too. Hey, Charlotte, what takeoff would you like to wash?
Oh, about 10 years and 11 inches.
Hey, Charlotte, how old do you have to be before you aren't a baby?
That depends, Robert. I've seen them all ages.
The actors are a baby because I'm making this scrap without a greeting card.
They're beautiful cards, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look on the back?
I always do.
Good boy.
You know, I'm not like Barbara's, always saving crazy things like dance tokens and stuff.
Well, I saved a few crazy things myself.
Can you tell us that when you were a girl, you saved things nobody else wanted?
Yes, Robert, my evening.
I bet you nobody in the world's got a scrapbook as good as mine. I've got 9 papers already.
A greeting card a day for the past month. Hmm?
But, Charlotte, don't you know who's sending them?
I vaguely remember that handwriting. But there's no name on them, Robert.
But haven't you any idea who's sending them?
Yes, I have, and added up, I think they mean that something is going to happen. I'll go, Robert. Your fingers are all sticky with glue. Yes?
Hello, Miss Greenwood. Here's a package for you from the Palace Candy Shop.
For me? I didn't know it or anything.
Oh, I was told it was for you. Goodbye, Miss Greenwood.
Thank you. Don't tell me there's a bachelor in town.
Well,
it's candy, but it's the first time in years that anybody ever sent me chocolate. How do I raise 4 boxes? I get it, Robert. Your fingers are still all glue. Hello?
Hello, Miss Greenwood. This is Bessie Fraser. I'm in a few things about a wedding in Stockholm.
Not yet, Gertrude. Any message?
Yes, I know you've been telling for me that if I have to go through what I promised, I mean, really, Miss Greenwood, if you expect me to, then I have to do what you promised. But I mean, if you really have to, I mean, really well.
Well, I don't think I quite understand, Gertrude.
But that's well. I mean, really good. I mean, really good. I mean,
the more meaning she does, the less meaning she makes. Now, let's see now. She won't do what he really promised. What I mean is he won't if she doesn't. And, oh, my, they say it's hard to understand a sergeant.
Hiya, son.
How's Miss Judy Cutie? Now, how can you make a Judy Cutie out of a lean bean? Oh, Jack, Gertrude Gleason just called.
Oh, gosh, what did she say?
Well, I really mean, I don't know. I really don't know, but she said you'd understand.
Oh, sure.
Aunt Charlotte, there's liable to be a lot of phone calls. Hey, Robert, get out of my chocolate.
Your chocolate?
I... For a moment, I was thinking, no dreaming, they were for me.
Chocolate. Phone calls.
Hey, Jack, what is this all about?
Well, the kids at high school are going to elect the student body president. I've been nominated, so I'm running.
Well, you're always running for something, so why not?
But what are 4 pounds of chocolates? What are they, a handicap or ballast?
Well, everybody says Hank Ferguson, our football captain, is a chance to be elected president. So I'm going to do a little campaigning for myself.
Now, you aren't trying to swing an election with chocolates for dates.
Now,
no, nothing as corny as that. I'm just going to play safe, see? I promised a box of chocolates to Gertrude if she can wangle a date with Bud Smith. He carries a lot of weight around the school.
Well, you know how it is, Aunt Charlotte. It's a good policy to be smart.
Honesty is a good policy, too, son.
Yeah. And I promised Jimmy Maxwell he can be editor of the yearbook and that I won't interfere with anything.
Now, Jack, you can't do that.
Oh, gosh, Aunt Charlotte, you just don't understand.
I think I do, Jack.
The man's handwriting and all these student cards?
Are you still puzzling over those cards, Robert?
Oh, those old things. I still say they're from one of your old boyfriends. I bet you never thought of comparing them with some of your old love letters.
But it did.
Well, this handwriting didn't match it.
Charlotte, there must have been more than one beau in your life.
Pretty sure. So we have them from all over the country.
Oh? No, greeting cards. Oh.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, Barbara, my precious, what's the matter?
I'm desperate. Absolutely desperate.
Oh, good night. Has your boyfriend, Mickey Taylor, fallen for another girl?
Oh, no, it's much worse than that.
Well, what is it now?
Oh, it's that droopy old journalism teacher of mine.
Yeah, last week you thought he was a super drooper.
Oh, Charlotte, he says my first assignment's to get an interview and picture for Mr. Poindexter.
Poindexter? The old railroad tycoon?
Well, how can I get an interview? You won't even see the New York report.
Didn't you explain that to your teacher?
I told him Mr. Poindexter was nothing but a mean old hermit who hasn't seen a reporter for 20 years. And they've even broken into his house, huh?
Well, if you simply went to the front door and you rang the bell and explained how important it is for you to see me.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you always act as if everybody were kind and generous.
Most people are, if you give them a chance to be.
How's my great big beautiful girl?
Two, none two, and no more.
What do you mean,
two, none two, and no more?
Too big, none too beautiful, and no more girl.
Jack, you had a phone call while you were out.
Oh, gosh, it wasn't somebody backing out of my campaign, was it?
It was your big football hero, Hank Ferguson.
Well, what do you want? For me to give up even before election?
It seems Hank's in a tight spot, and he needs your help, Jack.
My help? When he's practically got the election swing.
Now, the first football game of the season is next Saturday. You have an examination in history on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, sure, Belle.
Hank won't be able to play in that game unless he passes that examination. He wants you to come over and help him cram for it.
What good will it do me to help him? I got to pass out this candy and start campaigning, but fast.
You want to beat Mound City in that football game, don't you?
Well, sure,
Belle,
I do.
Since Hank is your best player.
Oh, gosh, Aunt Charlotte, you're always making things easy for other people.
Go over to Hank's desk and help him.
What to do? Nothing like this has ever happened before.
Oh, yes, the doorbell has rung many times before.
Well, I see who it is.
No, I mean this crazy situation. Here I'm being asked to help the very guy I'm trying to beat.
I'm sure. Come quick, I think this is it.
You think what is what?
It's a strange man and he wants to see you.
You're right, Jack. Nothing like this has ever happened before.
Well, well, well. Oh, I thought it was you.
Hello there.
Hello there, Sylvester. Now, where did you drop in from?
The Comfort Maine. Remember, Miss Seymour?
Of course. Children, come here and meet the man who sent the greeting card, Sylvester Adams. This is Barbara.
Hello.
Barbara?
Yes.
Hi, Sylvester.
And Robert Barton.
Hello.
Oh. My, how you children have grown.
Now, Sylvester, you've never seen them before.
Oh, it doesn't mean they haven't grown.
Anybody.
You surprised to see me, Miss Greenwood?
No, not after all those greeting cards. I expected you.
Oh, you got them all?
28 of them.
Sure. I'd like to have my mail go astray. Mind if I set my things inside the door?
Of course not. Yes, Robert helps, Sylvester.
Oh, sure. Want the trunk brought in, too?
The trunk?
Yeah.
Same spice as it could after I got the letter, Miss Greenwood.
What letter?
For this letter. See what it says?
Let me see. I need you here in Lakeview. Please come at once.
Oh, naturally. I came at once.
But I didn't write this letter.
Maybe not. But you would have if you'd taken time to think about it.
Yeah.
And you know how much I like to work for you.
Oh, did you work for Aunt Charlotte before?
Sure did.
Sylvester took care of a great many things around the house for me.
And best hand a man's ever had. Is that right?
That's right, Sylvester. You could work miracles with sparks
when that little bird fell out of its nest.
I remember you said it with an eyedropper.
What kind of a bird was it?
A chickadee.
Mm-hmm.
A chickadee sounds like this.
That sounds more like Hollywood and Vine. You know, Sylvester, you were a wonderful mother to that bird.
I even taught it to fly, remember? It took quite a while, though.
Oh, well, that was because you couldn't fly yourself.
Well, like I was telling you, Miss Greenwood, one night I found myself thinking about you here along Lakeview, taking care of three children, and I said to myself, I said, Sylvester, Miss Greenwood was always mighty good to you, and now she needs you.
Yeah,
she needs you more than she ever needed you before. So I sat down and wrote that letter.
You're the same old Sylvester. You haven't changed a bit.
So, here I am, Miss Greenwood, right anxious to work for you again.
Well, that's wonderful, Sylvester, but you haven't explained about your barbershop. Have you just locked it up and gone away?
Oh, that's a story that's full of chapters, Miss Greenwood. I haven't time to tell it all now.
Oh, I know. It isn't the time it takes to tell. It's the time it takes you to get around to telling it.
Maybe so, but now, Miss Greenwood, if you tell me where I can put my things, I'll settle in and start working.
Well, there's a very comfortable room and bath over the garage.
Oh, it's been fine, Miss Greenwood. I don't like to be underfoot too much.
Children help, Sylvester.
Now, Jack, if you'll just hoist up one end of the trunk, huh?
Okay.
And, Barbara, that satchel isn't very heavy.
I want to help you. Let me help.
All right, Robert. Now, you can carry in the basket of seashells.
Oh, boy. You got seashells?
Yeah. I'll say. All men have a hobby. Whatever it may be, they go about collecting things that no one else can see. They pick up old and precious things of ancient pedigree.
If that's the case, then tell me why no man collected me.
Come on, children.
Dad, just a moment.
You okay, Charlotte?
As soon as you get Sylvester settled, will you go over and help Hank Ferguson with his history?
Oh, dry, Aunt Charlotte. What about my campaign? How can I expect to get elected president of the student body if I don't campaign?
Think it over, Jeff.
Oh, all right, Aunt Charlotte.
Hello?
Miss Greenwood?
Yes?
This is Eddie Scott of the Lakeview National Bank.
Oh, yes. How are you, Mr. Scott? Something wrong about the Barton estate?
No, Miss Greenwood. A very peculiar inquiry has come to the bank from the concert name.
The concert?
About a man named Sylvester Adams. You know him?
Yes.
You happen to know where he is?
Yes, he's here. He just arrived this afternoon.
Oh, well then, Miss Greenwood, it's imperative that I talk to you right away.
About Sylvester Adams?
Yes.
Well, what do you want to know about him?
Well, I'd rather not stay over the telephone, Miss Greenwood.
Well, you're being very mysterious, Mr. Scott.
Well, I'll be right over. Now, there's no need to be unduly alarmed. It doesn't seem to be a matter for the police. Yes. Goodbye?
Yes. Now, what has Sylvester been up to?
Somehow, we always think of June as being the month for weddings. And yet, many a marriage knot is tied in the fall season. This year especially, now that more and more bridegrooms-to-be are returning from overseas. Chances are, wedding bells will soon be ringing for a young couple you know. And a thoughtful way to remember them is to send a beautiful wedding card. Among the many fine cards at your Hallmark dealers, it takes but a moment to choose one with a very thought you'd like to convey. A distinctive, socially correct card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. And remember, this is a season for anniversaries, too. And whether your married friends are serious-minded or gay in temperament, your Hallmark anniversary card can say congratulations with quiet charm or with smiling wit and humor. Yes, there's an appropriate Hallmark card for remembering your friends on their wedding days anniversaries, birthdays, and every occasion. Make your choice this week at your Hallmark dealers. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. You see, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Sylvester Adams, a man who had worked for Aunt Charlotte several times before, has dropped in at Lakeview to help her with the family. The children are already devoted to him. No sooner did he arrive than the bank called up to investigate him. Aunt Charlotte is uneasy as she waits for Mr. Scott, who is coming to the house to further question.
Good afternoon, Mr. Scott.
How do you do, Miss Greenwood? I'm sorry to have to bother you.
Oh, not at all. Come in, please.
As I told you over the telephone...
You sounded quite upset.
Well, frankly, Miss Greenwood, I am upset and completely baffled. You say you know this Sylvester Adams?
Yes, he just dropped in.
But why up in Maine?
Quite a drop, isn't it?
but seriously, Miss Greenwood, you say you've known this man for some time. Exactly how long?
Oh, over 20 years ago. I met him in Boston at the Princess Theater. He was the doorman.
Did you say he worked for you?
Oh, yes. He was butler, chauffeur, secretary, and handyman for 2 years. And one day, he went away.
Oh? Where'd he go?
I never asked him. Didn't see him for several years after that, and then suddenly one time, while I was on tour with a show, he appeared in Chicago.
And he came to work for you again?
Mm-hmm. I needed a caretaker for my place in the concert name. Sylvester has a way of appearing when I need him, and then sort of disappearing when I don't need him any longer.
Well, in other words, Miss Greenwood, he is an eccentric character.
Sylvester's very kind and gentle and humble, but slightly impractical. I don't find these characteristics eccentric.
Well, possibly, Miss Greenwood, but is this man trustworthy?
Oh, to the limit, Mr. Scott. But why are you questioning me about Sylvester? What has he done that could possibly interest you or your bank?
Well, I understand that this Sylvester is also a barber.
And a mechanic, and a gardener, and a cook. He bakes the best lemon meringue pie you ever ate.
Well, that's very interesting, but... Did you ever lend him any money?
Oh, yes. Sylvester decided one day that he wanted a barber shop, and I loaned him $500 to buy it.
Well, I dare say he never paid you back.
On the contrary, Mr. Scott, Sylvester not only paid me back, but made me a partner in his barber shop. It was a profitable deal, Mr. Scott.
Well, that's exactly it. He was very successful. He could have expanded, branched out, and made himself well off.
Well, perhaps, Mr. Scott, if you start at the beginning...
This afternoon, I received a letter from the bank in the concert name. They'd heard Sylvester was headed this way and that he knew you. They've asked me to investigate.
Investigate what? What is it that Sylvester's done that seems to have upset two banks?
A month ago, now this is difficult to believe, Miss Greenwood, but I can vouch for the fact. A month ago, this Sylvester Adams gave his barbershop away. He gave it away, Miss Greenwood.
Oh? So that's what he's done.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, did he owe any money to the bank in Secaucus?
Not a cent. But when the new owner, who had no money, came to the bank to have the deed put in escrow...
Oh, I see. There was no bill of sale, and so the bank became suspicious.
Exactly. Now, people don't give away a profitable business, Miss Greenwood, not unless they have a pretty definite reason for doing it.
No, but I'm sure that Sylvester had a definite reason.
But, Miss Greenwood, people simply don't do things like that.
Mr. Scott, Sylvester's done something generous and kind for someone, and right away he becomes a suspect. Why should it be thought incredible for a man to give what he likes to his neighbor? If that charitable act enables his neighbor to dispense with charity, and why should it be incredible for him to come a great distance to remember me, his friend? Are these the traits of a suspicious character?
But
Miss Greenwood, I... Don't look so puzzled. Sit down, Mr. Scott, and I'll make us a nice cup of cocoa. It's warm. It might help.
Mr. Poindexter gave me an interview and 3 pictures of himself. Gosh, I'm sorry. If anybody asked you for a photograph, would you give them 3?
I have to, if I want to get all of me in.
Oh, Charlotte. And Mr. Poindexter isn't a grouchy old hermit.
You mean you didn't have to break into his house?
Well, Sylvester and I went out to Mr. Poindexter's house, and I was going to climb over the wall when Sylvester tried the gate. It was unlocked.
Gates sometimes are.
Well, you told me if I used the rat approach, it would be easy to see him. I thought it was just a trap. But Sylvester said that...
Why don't you just ring the doorbell?
Yes, How did you know?
Oh, I know Sylvester.
So we rang the doorbell, and Mr. Poindexter answered it himself.
Well, what did you say to him?
Oh, nothing. My cheeks were chattering. I couldn't say a word.
But Sylvester could.
Oh, yes. He just said very nicely, "Hello there, Mr. Poindexter. This is Barbara Barton. She's Charlotte Green with me, and she'd like to interview you and get your picture."
Now that should have ended everything.
Oh, no, no. Mr. Poindexter said he'd seen you in every show you'd ever been in, and then he was crazy about you.
I hope you told him I'm still alive.
Sylvester did. And Mr. Poindexter asked how you were, and, oh, Aunt Charlotte, you were the perfect lamb chop.
I hope you didn't tell him that.
Oh, of course not. And he gave me a super interview. And we had tea, and he said to tell you that if he weren't nearly 80 years old, he'd be right over here now courting you.
That always happens to me. They're either too old or too short.
Oh. That you, Sylvester?
Yeah. Well, I'm Mr. Moore.
Barbara, will you take Sylvester's packages into the kitchen? I want to talk to him for a minute.
All right.
Thank you, Barbara. Careful of the rice. It might spill.
Not around me, it won't.
You want us to talk to
him,
Mr.
Moore? Yes. Sylvester, now I'm right back where I started from. What has become of your barbershop?
Well, it's like this, Mr. Greenwood. Cutting hair, you get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
I got so I knew everybody in the concert.
Yes, Sylvester, what did you do with the barbershop?
Well, one night while I was closing off, I saw a man looking in the window. Just found the man, Mr. Greenwood, looking in. Kind of a sad, hungry look in his eyes. His clothes weren't very good, Mr. Greenwood.
Yes, Sylvester.
Then a pretty young woman came and stood beside the man. Then two little boys, the towheads, Mr. Greenwood. And they all just stood there, looking in the window, looking at the fine barber chair, the mirror, all the beautiful bottles that were full of nice things to smell. Made me feel sad, Mr. Greenwood, seeing them all looking in so hungry-like. I could see the whole story in his eyes.
Of course, Sylvester.
I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a barber, a friend of mine. I knew he'd been out of work, and that for a while he'd had a hard time. But he stood there, his face lit up, like he was dreaming
of someday owning a barbershop like yours.
That's right, Mr. Greenwood. So I...
So you went outside and said to the man, "We don't have to dream anymore."
Well, how do you know, Miss Greenwood?
I know you, Sylvester.
Well, it was knowing you, Miss Greenwood. I just said to myself, now what did Miss Greenwood do for me? Well, what could I do for him? So I did it. I gave him my half interest in the barber shop. Yeah, I got him started, and then I came out here to see you about it.
Well, I'm glad you did that, Sylvester.
Yes, but... You know, you and I were partners in that barbershop, Mr. Moore.
Uh-huh. I know, Sylvester. But you've still got a half interest. I don't mind going out of business this way. Takes time to be a good lady, barber. You go back and work it out with your friends. Let him prove that he's worthy of your gift. Your success is the development of your own character. So give him the opportunity to develop his. Then he's earned his own success. Permanently.
Well,
you do that?
Well, that's why I came to Lakeview. See how you felt about it, and I'm much obliged to you for letting me stay a while.
No, Sylvester. I'm much obliged to you.
Already happened today.
Oh, man, I'm elected. I'm president of the high school student body.
Anybody can buy his way into office.
But I didn't, Barbara. Honest, I didn't. I went over to Hank Ferguson.
Oh, I'm glad, Jack.
You know, Hank was really worried about that examination.
Well, I was sitting there trying to beat a lot of stuff into his head when he suddenly said he couldn't be president and play football and keep off his grades, too. So Hank decided to withdraw in my favor.
But why in your favor?
Well, he said it was because, well, by helping him pass the history examination, I told him that I had the real interest of the school at heart. Because if he broke the exam, we'd have lost the football.
Oh, gosh, Aunt Charlotte, I feel like I feel.
But why, Jack?
Well, gee, I was going to bribe my way in. And if you hadn't stopped me...
I didn't stop you, Jack. I just gave you an alternative, and I knew that you'd accept the right one.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Well, now that I'm president, I'm going to have the football field fixed up and have new grandstands built and put leather chairs in the classroom.
What?
And then after that, I'm going
to... Wait a minute. I'm cool.
Aren't you letting your imagination run away with you?
Well, maybe so, but gee whiz, Aunt Charlotte.
Don't you ever let your imagination run away with you?
At my age, that's all that ever will run away with me.
Say, Aunt Charlotte, I bought all those chocolates to win an election, but... Gosh, Aunt Charlotte, I want to give them to you. The best pal a guy ever had. Oh, gosh, you know, sweets to the sweet.
Chocolate, my favorite. Aunt Charlotte, have you got a favorite sweet?
Uh-huh, the bridal sweet.
Time you buy a card for any occasion, to look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. You see, it is quality that has maintained Hallmark leadership for more than 30 years. Because
that's why it's so important to look for the Hallmark name on the back of the card you buy. For always remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, I wonder if you've ever thought, I know I often do, the things we've seen in daily life would make a book or two, the doings of our families, the things our children say. Could be if we knew how to write a movie or a play. And yet these stories that we know are lost within the heart because we think we don't possess the writer's magic art. But friends, you know it doesn't take great talent, art, or skill. There is no longing in each heart that books can ever fill. For all the folks we know and love who are living far away are waiting eagerly to read the things we do and say. No book could mean so much to them as letters that we write. So let's take up our pens and send a card or note tonight. Broadcasting Company.